Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to take a look today at the book of Revelation, part of the book of Revelation, following on a week of just walking with the church and listening to the readings that were given both in the Acts of the Apostles, the unfolding of the mission of the church, but in particular, the Gospel of John has kind of been at the center of our reflections. The church is preparing us for Pentecost. Jesus is talking to the apostles during the Last Supper discourse in many of the readings about the giving of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, after having conquered the enemy on the cross, having destroyed his power now, making it possible for human beings to be cleansed from sin, to be separated, and not have our hearts and minds dominated by sin and the consequences then of sin, of death itself reigning over us. As Paul says it in Romans, that the reign of sin and death has been broken in the death of Jesus on the cross and is rising from the dead. But he's telling the apostles that after that, he will return to the Father. You can imagine the sadness. He said, you're grieving, and I get it. Could you imagine them seeing Jesus even after he rose from the dead, thinking, now everything is going to happen. Let's go into Jerusalem. Let's make it happen. Let's overthrow the Romans. Let's get everything working. And Lord, we love you. You've forgiven us. We don't ever want to be separated from you. And Jesus said, I must go. You know, I have to go to the Father. And I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to be with you. I will be with you in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And everything that is mine, he will give to you. He'll speak on my account. He'll communicate everything the Father and I want communicated. We will be with you. Be assured of it. So yesterday was Ascension, and we were celebrating a bit the victory of Jesus, his lordship and his majesty. It's so important for us to kind of take in what St. Paul talked about in his letter to the Ephesians. He was praying so fervently, Father, reveal to every human heart, reveal to us the beauty and the majesty of Jesus. Give us wisdom and revelation of heart to see Jesus. And you can see at the beginning of the book of Revelation, John, who's in Patmos, and he's a shepherd of, you know, seven churches that in some ways kind of represent all the churches in one way or another. And some of them are under great trial. Some are being persecuted. Some are drifting away. Some are compromising. Some are poisoned by false teachers that are promoting sexual immorality and idolatry. Some have grown cold in their love. Some have lost their first love. Others have, like the Laodicean church, which does feel like America in some ways, you know, that says we're rich, we're powerful, we just don't need God. We've got too much going on already, and we're fine. We can save ourselves, essentially. And so here's this shepherd, and he's concerned, and on the Lord's Day, a revelation comes to him of the glory and majesty of Jesus, and he's overcome by it, you know, and he can see, and what he sees, here's what a revelation of Jesus, like Paul was praying for, what it can do. He was able to declare who Jesus is. Jesus is the faithful witness, he called him, and there's like 30-some titles of Jesus that emerge here in the early part of the book of Revelation that are fantastic, and it's John is seeing, he's given a gift to be able to see and comprehend the full dimension of who Jesus is. And the more he knows about Jesus, the more his confidence grows, the more he's resting, because Jesus is bringing truth to him. This great and awesome Lord, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, John writes. And so the faithful witness, what does that mean? Jesus was faithful to the commission the Father gave him, to come to bear witness to the truth about God, the goodness of God, the love of God, the power of God, the truth about man, that man was indeed created in God's image and likeness, but that man is now enslaved to sin, the truth about our enemy, about Satan, about the fallen world, the truth about the world and its resistance to God and the things of God. So Jesus bore witness. He was faithful to telling the truth about all of it. And then his most perfect expression was on the cross. He was faithful. He bore witness to what it means to be a child of God. He was faithful to the truth that we ought to trust God's goodness, God's mercy, God's power, God's love, God's faithfulness in every circumstance, in any situation. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Jesus bore witness to it. He was faithful to the end, to the commission that the Father gave him. Such a awesome. Lord, we thank you. So he's the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. He's the beginning of the new creation. We've talked about it many times this week. You know, he was raised from the dead. He passed from death to life. He is existing beyond death. The new creation, the new reality, the new humanity exists in the person of Jesus. And he now is siring a new race of people. He alone has the indestructible power of eternal life within him to give to everyone who's willing to turn their hearts to him. So he's the firstborn from the dead, and he's the ruler of the kings of the earth. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. The most important thing happening in the universe is that God the Father has exalted his Son over everything. And there's no opposition anymore that's going to go anywhere. The fight still goes on. There's still lives in the balance, no question about it. But the end game is done. He's won. And all power and authority belongs to Jesus. And the only question is, the most important thing is, have you said yes to him wholeheartedly? Have you surrendered your life to him? Have you become his child? Have you repented of your sins? Have you gone all in with Jesus? Your time, your talent, your treasure, your life. This is the season, friends, to do that. Don't hedge your bets. Don't be a double-minded man who's unstable in all his ways. Don't live in the twilight like Father Michael Scanlon used to say all the time. He said, you know, the temptation is to want to dwell in the twilight. I don't want to be in the dark completely, but I do want to play around with the dark. I do want to be able to have some access to it. So I'm going to put one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. It doesn't work. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and you're not going to produce fruit. You're going to be really frustrated, and you're not going to please God. The Lord said, if you're coming after me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross to do that. Right? And which means to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and make it your aim now to please him. That's what it's all about. Right? And that's where we're going to be able to have life. And so as John and Patmos is concerned about the churches, Jesus reveals to him, and he comes to these churches, and he addresses them with love, and he says, here's some of the stuff you're doing right. He strengthens them, but then he's really clear about stuff that's not working. Loss of first love, as I was saying. Allowing false teachers in your midst. How many Catholics are walking away from the faith? How many Catholics are hardly ever showing up for Mass or for the mission of the church? They've lost their first love, or maybe they've never had Christ as their first love, which is why a new evangelization is needed. The recent popes have prayed and hoped for. You know, the false teachers who are saying, hey, don't sweat sexual immorality. I mean, two of these churches had deep trouble in the midst of them, and Jesus was very, very strong. In one case, a prophetess was teaching falsely about sexual morality, leading people into sexual immorality and idolatry. And Jesus said, I gave her time to repent, this false teacher, this false prophet. But she refuses to repent. So I'm going to throw her on her sickbed, and I'm going to kill her children. That's what he said. It says it right there in the Bible. Those who are following, judgment will come on those who insist on resisting the will of God and suppressing the truth about God and God's purpose and God's command. Jesus is a good shepherd. He loves. He comes with mercy. And then if you don't respond to mercy, he makes it a severe mercy. And if you don't respond to the severe mercy, he's going to bring judgment. And he's going to discipline. He does not permit, and he doesn't want permitted in the body, for darkness to be called light, sin to be called a virtue. Friends, take a reading on what's happening today in the church. How many voices of compromise are there? How many voices are trying to affirm all the different sexual, you know, propositions that are being put forward, you know, in the culture? All the redefinitions of this, that, and the other thing. It's directly in opposition to the Lord. So the pride of the Church of Laodicea, its confidence in its boasting in its money and its influence and its power, Jesus came against that. He said, you're so blind in your pride. You're poor, blind, naked. You don't know what you're doing. And in each case, repent. Repent. Remember how far you've fallen, you know, before it's too late to repent. So that vision is what's given to John. It's encouraging him. And John said, John sees and Jesus is standing there, and there's seven golden lampstands that represent the church, the seven churches and the leaders of the churches. And they're in the palm of his hand. And he said, I love you. I told you I'd never leave you. I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. But we're all called to holiness. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're set apart for God. If you turn to the back of the book of Revelation, verse 20 or chapter 21, the new heaven and the new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. In Genesis is a marriage, and at the end of time there will be a marriage. Right? The church is the bride of Christ, and he wants a pure and spotless bride. Those who are saying, yes, I want to be your bride. I want to live totally for you, Lord. I want to be pure and spotless. I don't want to be an idolater. I don't want to be living in immorality. He says, a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. The world, the old world, is passing away. And he goes on to verse 5, and he who sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he also said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said, it is done. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without price from the fountain of the water of life. It's the Holy Spirit forever. Just there's no limit. It's just extraordinary. He who conquers shall have this heritage. In the seven churches, he's saying, press in. The one who endures till the end, the one who obeys to the end, the one who lives and dies in the Lord is the one who conquers. And he said, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. It's so beautiful. But listen to this. Right here in the victory proclamation at the end of the Bible, it says, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, the murderers, the fornicators, the sorcerers, the idolaters, all the liars, their lot shall be the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is all throughout the teaching of Jesus. Jesus doesn't want anyone to be lost. But all of us, who, if we cling to our sin and we cling to our idols and we insist on our own reality, that means we suppress God's truth, which means we suppress the rule of Jesus. And friends, Jesus cannot be opposed. You can try, people can try, but all power and glory belong to him. He is the bridegroom, he is the king, and he's the judge of all. He wants us to come to him now in mercy. Let's do it as we celebrate. Turn our lives to him, surrender our hearts radically to him. Let's realign our lives. Let this time be a reset so we can be all his for the rest of our lives, for the praise of his glory. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.